Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
17 members present.
Today's chaplain, the Reverend John Payden from the Juneau Church of Christ, was here, and he left his prayer, and the majority leader will read it. Would you please rise?
Our caring Father, we thank you for this day. We want to serve all of Alaska's people well today. The children, the elderly, those who have no reason.
Of course. We want to do what is equitable and what is excellent. At times we feel burdened with overwhelming loads and so little time to accomplish the task. In the midst of issues that assail us, grant us the continued grace to recognize the real needs and the courage to pursue what is right. And in thus simplifying our lives, grant us peace. I come to you in the name of the Lord of peace, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mr. Zawacki, would you listen to the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk certifies to the correctness of journal of the previous day.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 108th day.
Are there guests to be introduced? Mr. Majority Leader? No, we can recess. We stand at ease for a moment. No, we only got 20. Mr. Majority Leader?
On his consent that the purpose read on the journal.
Is your objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
I'd like to move that certification. I move that and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 109th day be approved as certified.
Is your objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
I'd like to move that the House stand in recess until 2 o'clock. There'll be a majority caucus immediately in the Speaker's chamber.
We're in recess until 2 o'clock. The House, please come back to order. Are there further guests to be introduced? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend of mine and the mayor of the city of Soldotna, Dolly Farnsworth.
Mr. Swackhammer.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, and just about the same amount of distance between the two towns, the mayor of Kenai, John Williams.
Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce a great person and longtime friend of mine from Fairbanks. She's a volunteer worker for the American Cancer Society and its effort for years and years. Helped me in welcoming to Juneau Connie Cobb.
Mr. Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery B, she's with us again today. Kristen Lambert, City Councilperson from the City of Soldotna.
Are there messages from the Governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other House?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill 149, thus passing House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 149 Judiciary and activating the contracts to lend money or grant or extend credit. The Senate has passed and returned committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 Rules, proposing an amendment to the uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to committee records and providing for an effective date, and House Bill Number 144, an act continuing the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers and providing for an effective date, and these bills have been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 160 Finance with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 160 Finance, an act establishing the Alaska Neighborhood Revitalization Initiative, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 112 Finance, amended with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 112 Rules, amended Senate. enacting to big game hunting and to the regulation of big game and marine mammal guide outfitting, transportation, and other commercial services for big game hunters, creating the Big Game Commercial Services Board, relating to presumptive sentences for violation of certain big game commercial service statutes, and providing for an effective date with a letter of intent and it is returned for consideration. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees. Mr. Grunberg, we'll be at ease. Madam Clerk.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 47, Joint Commission Status of Alaska Natives, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute by the State Affairs Committee with the same title and due pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Boucher Chairman, signing due pass, Hanley, Finkelstein, Zawacki, Boucher, and McLean. House Joint Resolution Number 47 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 276, Permanent Fund, Amarada Hess Litigation, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute by the State Affairs Committee and due pass. Report was signed by the co-chairs Gall and Grunberg. Signing due pass, M. Davis, Davidson, Ellis, and Gall. Signing no recommendation, Grunberg, Miller, and Martin. House Bill 276 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill 128, extending the Code Revision Commission, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by the co-chairs Gall and Grunberg. Signing due pass, M. Davis, Grunberg, Gall, Davidson, and Ellis. Having no recommendation, Martin and Miller. Senate Bill 128 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered Senate Bill 155, transfer of certain liquor licenses, and recommends as follows. Report was signed by Ellis, Chairman, signing no recommendation, C. Davis, Jackal, Boyer, and Ellis. Senate Bill 155 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Hess Committee has considered Senate Bill 239, Healthcare Review Committees, and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Hess Committee with the same title and due pass. Report was signed by Ellis, Chairman. Signing due pass, Ellis, C. Davis, Jackal, and Boyer. Senate Bill 239 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, citations, and resolutions.
Citation honoring Carol Jones by Representative Grunberg. House Joint Resolution 50 by Navarre, Brown, Menard, M. Davis, Finkelstein, and Ellis. Proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to an Environmental Damages Mitigation, Abatement, and Control Fund.
Resources, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 318 by Finkelstein, Wallace, M. Davis, Grunberg, Menard, Ellis, Donnelly, Ulmer, and Brown. An act relating to the Fair Campaign Practices Code.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 319 by Navarre, Swackhammer, Boucher, and Menard. An act making special appropriations from the Rail Belt Energy Fund for design and construction of power transmission interties between Anchorage and the Kenai Peninsula and between Homer and Soldotna and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 320 by the Resources Committee. An act relating to Prince William Sound Recovery Area and providing for an effective date.
Resources Committee.
House Bill 321 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to oil discharge contingency plans.
Resources Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Bring us to consideration of the day of the calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill 100.
Is there objection?
I'd like to call the House.
The House has been called. Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just going to ask if we could refer to back up the introduction of guests.
Without objection, Mr. Schultz.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would you help me welcome in Gallery B a friend of mine, John Benson from Delta Junction, and two students, go ahead, John, and two students that go to the Delta Catholic School there, I believe that's right, and they wrote 1,000-word essays to get down here, and they won a contest, and one of them wrote on responsibility, and the other one wrote an essay on authority. So would you help me welcome them?
stand at ease for a moment, Mike? Back to order? Almost made it. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Cato is ill and therefore excused.
Calls are satisfied. The question before the House is shall we the Senate Bill or House Bill 100. Is there further discussion? You ready for the question? Question before the House is shall committee substitute for House Bill number 100 Finance pass the House upon reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I hate to interrupt you like that. I didn't mean to, but while you were starting into this, I was talking with someone else and they didn't have an opportunity to stand up. I would like to make a couple comments on this budget before we pass it out of this House.
Void the roll call.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to be very brief, and I doubt that others will probably speak, but they may. This budget that we're passing out today, we have now spent, as I understand it, another 6 or 7 hours further contemplating this budget. It was my understanding that maybe some equity would be done, but apparently that's not to happen because no one has moved to bring this back to a second reading status for purposes of amendment. If that is the case, then so be it. We have lost in our attempts to try to dissuade the majority from hiring 530-some additional new people and from removing these funds from the municipalities and the school districts of this state. We regret that. We will look forward to the activities of the Senate and hope that in their state...
Please keep the other body's name out of the conversation, Mr. Taylor. I think you know the rules.
Yes, and hope in their statesmanlike approach that it may be a bit different than what we have shown so far. I will be voting against this budget and its effective date, and I look forward to the opportunity to see this thing go into a conference. Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question before the House is shall committee substitute for House Bill number 100 Finance pass the House upon reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the clerk take the roll?
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 100 Finance has passed the House upon reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader. Effective date clause has been moved. Are you ready for the question? Question before the House is shall the effective date clause be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
32 yeas, 7 nays.
Effective date clause has passed. Clerk, please transmit the bill to the other body. Mr. Menard?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we revert up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, Mr. Menard, under introductions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Larson and I have a favorite constituent in Gallery A, our borough mayor, Dorothy Jones.
The clerk read the first item on today's calendar.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 45 by Kopanen. And calculating the eligibility for retirement benefits under the Public Employees Retirement System for delegates to the Alaska Constitutional Convention and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. Signing do pass, Sponholz, Boucher, and McLean. Hanley has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Kopanen, Ulmer, and Schultz. Signing no recommendation, Phillips and Rieger. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent to sponsor substitute for House Bill 45 be considered in gross advance third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 45 by Kopanen. Enact relating to eligibility for retirement benefits under the Public Employees Retirement System for delegates to the Alaska Constitutional Convention and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to just announce the potential conflict at this time. My uncle is one of the two people who qualify for this.
Mr. Kopanen.
I didn't hear the question completely, but this was drawn to my attention several years ago when we were looking at the teacher's retirement system, the public employee's retirement system, and looking through the statutes. I noted that we gave people credit for their territorial service, credit for their federal service, military and other service, but those who participated in the Constitutional Convention that drew up the document under which we operate were not given any retirement credit. In researching it at that time, I found there were only four people who had not vested in one form or another in the retirement system. Since that time, two of them have passed away, and two of them are still with us, both of them in their 70s, and both having worked for the territorial or state government, one of them being Senator Ewell Kilcher from Kenai, the other being Jimmy Dugan, who at that time served as the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission for a little in excess of 3 years. This bill has no impact upon the retirement system. Both people have paid into the retirement system. This would vest them in the system and allow them access to the monies that they have paid into the retirement system. I think it is only fitting that we credit these pioneers, you might say our constitutional founding fathers, by at least vesting them into the retirement system as the rest of us are. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? You ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall sponsor substitute for House Bill number 45 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 45 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 72 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act continuing the existence of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass, concurring Donnelly, Sponholz, Collins, Lehman, Boucher, Boyer, and Grunberg. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Phillips, Barnes, and Ulmer. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Rieger, and Wallace. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 72 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
House Bill number 72 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act continuing the existence of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion? Ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall House Bill number 72 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
34 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill number 72 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage be considered a roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection to the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, read the next item of today's calendar.
House Bill number 128 by Brown, M. Davis, Grunberg, and Ellis. An act relating to state oil and gas and geothermal leasing practices and adjustments of state royalties to encourage commercial production. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Davidson, Jacko, M. Davis, and Navarre. Having no recommendation, Sharp and Hudson. Furnace sign do not pass. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Finance Committee substitute with the same title and do pass. Signing do pass, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Kopanen, Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, Phillips, and Rieger. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 128 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute has been adopted in lieu of the original bill. Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to change my recommendation on that bill to no recommendation, please.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Representative Barnes be allowed to change her recommendation to no rec. Mr. Furness?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I wanted someone could tell us the difference between the finance and the resource version of the bill.
The Finance Committee substitute has been adopted, Mr. Furness. Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The differences occur on page 3, lines 15 and 16. The addition of the language that we would send copies of a finding to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. That's the only difference in the two versions.
Is there further other amendments to the bill?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 128 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection, the bill's in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 128, financed by the Finance Committee. An act relating to state oil and gas and geothermal leasing practices and adjustments of state royalties to encourage commercial production.
Representative Wallace?
Yes, may we please have a brief at ease?
We are at ease. House, please come back to order. Are we in third reading? No. Is there further discussion on House Bill 128? Mr. Furness?
My premise fell down here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few brief comments, Mr. Speaker. Title 38 is probably one of the most important statutes that we have, in that it has to do with the sale of oil and gas, and it's pretty much the Bible in terms of the law in leasing of oil and gas in the state of Alaska. And as such, the title is not very easy to understand. And therefore, when we have legislation changing parts of that statute, you have to ask yourself why. And I'll outline some of those questions, Mr. Speaker. The change in this legislation, for example, in terms of leasing of oil and gas, We tend to be changing the rules of the game. One section of this bill, for example, Mr. Speaker, extend the period of time by which the department may be able to sell land or negotiate land that has been up for bid from a period from 3 years to 5 years without opening up the additional findings. I know the rationale is, well, perhaps nothing has happened during that period of time. But I guess my question is, if the current system is not broke, then why are we changing it? Another, Mr. Speaker, the bill addressed that a person who may, for whatever reason, petition the department for a reduction in the royalties that the commissioner has set on a particular oil and gas lease, that not only do they have to show various and sundry pieces of information, but they must also show the revenues generated from all hydrocarbons on that particular lease. So the question is why? This was not required before. Another section of this bill, Mr. Speaker, speaks in terms of acreage for sale. And again, the question is why, when we speak of oil and gas lease, what we sell there is the production rights and the marketing rights of that resources. So now why are we talking about acreage? So again, the question is why? And if you read through this bill, there are a number of whys. In my opinion, they have not surfaced. I understand that there may be a vendor that needs the relief under this bill in order to be able to bring on a field that is marginally that's marginal in production. So, you know, I don't have any problems with their need. I guess I somewhat disagree with changing statute in order to accommodate one client, because in the process of trying to have one vendor, I think we open the window of opportunity to do great harm to another vendor in the same process. So I guess, Mr. Speaker, I'll close by saying why. Why is this legislation before us? Why is it necessary? And I know there will be some explanation, and I've heard those explanations, and the question still remains, and I'm going to vote against it at this time. I'm going to reconsider it, and we'll spend some additional time, hopefully as a caucus, over the next couple of hours reviewing this legislation in more detail. I'll close with that, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown, prime sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The why make these changes is that they are needed to streamline our oil and gas leasing process. House Bill 128 makes some fairly minor changes in the leasing process and in the public notice requirements. We're changing the public notice requirement because there was an error made in some legislation earlier adopted that exempted oil and gas lease sales from public notice altogether. That is in Section 4 of the bill to restore the public notice requirements for oil and gas lease sales. Sections 1 and 3 of the bill make some fairly minor changes with respect to exempt sales and reoffering sales. These are acreages that had been either previously offered and not leased, or previously leased and the lessee has relinquished the lease. I think these changes are a good idea. They were suggested by the Department of Natural Resources, which administers this program. And we're always asking our agencies to do more with less money and to be more efficient, and this is one small way we can assist that. Section 2 of the bill deals with royalties and the opportunity for the commissioner to reduce a royalty under certain circumstances. I believe that the change proposed in House Bill 128 will strengthen the commissioner's hand. It sets some very stringent requirements there on page 3, lines 8 through 16, about to give the commissioner guidance when a royalty reduction is being considered. Presently, the statute does allow royalty reductions under certain circumstances, and the changes proposed here will make clear that the commissioner is not to change a royalty unless it's necessary to reestablish production that's shut in and unless the state's going to get the maximum economic return. I think this is good legislation. I ask for the body's support.
Mr. Curtis?
Well, Mr. Speaker, let me just wrap up here. The sponsor of the bill speaks of the notification. Basically, what we do in the new notification section, we send copies to the municipalities, regional corporation, village corporation, postmasters, and nonprofit organizations. That doesn't really seem to be a big deal. What is important, Mr. Speaker, is that we follow through with the findings. If a piece of property has been offered and it's been 3 years since that property has been on the docket, it's important to go through the finding steps, in my opinion, particularly if we're going to take it from 3 years to 5 years. We should go through the findings, at which time the commissioner is to document why this property is put up for lease or whatever. There's another section that gives me some concern, and let me just read just briefly. The change in the bill says here, the commission may condition a royalty reduction granted under this subsection in any way necessary to protect the state's royalty share in the event of an increase in the price of oil and gas. Now, what do we mean? In any way necessary. That's a blank check. So what are we doing? I still ask, why is it necessary to change the language in this sense? This legislation frightens me, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 128, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
32 yeas, 7 nays.
New substitute House Bill number 128, Finance, has passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar? Mr. Furness?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I would like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 128, the Finance version.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. House Bill 128. Madam Clerk.
Senate Bill 33 by Kurtula and Szymanski, an act establishing the Willow Mountain critical habitat area and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be passed. Concurring, Menard, Davidson, Jackal, Navarre, and M. Davis. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Kopen and Ulmer, Schultz, and Rieger. Having no recommendation, Phillips. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent to Senate Bill 33 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection to bills in third reading, would a clerk read the bill for the third time?
Senate Bill number 33 by Kurtula and Szymanski. An act establishing the Willow Mountain critical habitat area and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Taylor, excuse me, Mr. Menard, the prime sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is sets aside a critical area in our district. It's an area where moose habitat, they primarily are there during early hunting season. Those that survive winter there to in the early part of the winter, and then they move down into the lower parts of the valley as the winter progresses. The area is the prime amount of the land is above timberline. It's above 1,000 feet. There are a few trees, scattered trees within the area, but would not be suitable for harvesting. The area that we're describing here has about 22,000 acres in it, and there are no other conflicting land uses on this. It is, and in our district, we do also have the Moose Range that has 130,000 acres in it, but even establishing the Moose Range a few years ago, it still does not preclude doing development in it because the Wishbone Hill project, the coal project, is within the Moose Range. Another consideration that we did take in working with the prime sponsor on this legislation is the fact that our ski resort area in the Hatcher Pass is taking up about 12,000 acres and which will affect the moose habitat in the area. So we felt it was vitally important to protect a certain area for moose habitat. And I urge the support of the body.
Mr. Taylor, here's the floor. Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to mention that I, in fact, support this piece of legislation. It's one of the few pieces of legislation that I have seen that come through the legislative body that is, in fact, a critical habitat area when we have labeled a lot of them. And any area of the state that can raise moose in the manner in which this area can raise them for the Alaska Railroad has got to be good.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. After 5 years at this business, it's almost getting to be rote. I keep waiting. I know that one of these days the majority in this House is going to provide me with a bill that shows where at least 1 acre of land is going to be used by a human being to go to work on, and that we're not going to lock it up for some critter. Whatever the justification or reason. We've been told by the prime sponsor there's not a single thing, single land use contemplated that is threatening this area. If that in fact is the case, then why do we have to have legislation locking the area up? I'd like an answer to that before I vote on it.
Ready for the question? Question for the Mr. Taylor, you wish to speak again?
Well, I request an answer. If I'm not going to get the courtesy of an answer, then I'm going to give you my conclusions. My conclusion is that one more time.
Ms. Taylor has the
floor. I'll yield the floor to
Mr. Bernard, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I said that there are no conflicting land use plans at this time in this area. And there are none, to my knowledge, that are coming forward. It is along the Hatcher Pass management area that was established a few years ago. Like I mentioned earlier, the majority of the land is above timberline. There are a few trees on it. I do have some pictures if I want to send over that shows the moose in there, shows the barren area. I think it is an area that is established for a critical moose habitat, and I urge the body's support.
Mr. Taylor, you have the floor one more time.
Yes, I appreciate that explanation, and I believe that both the speaker from Tolk and also the speaker from Palmer, carrying the bill on the floor, are sincere in their comments to this body, and I look to both of them for wisdom in this area. My frustration, however, again, is that we are still locking up another 23,000 acres, unless I miscounted here, 36 full sections of land, where we are directing that it shall be managed primarily to maintain the productivity of the habitat for moose. When am I going to see 26,000 or 23,000 acres in this state managed primarily for the habitat and well-being of human beings? Or do we continue to auction off houses in Palmer and Anchorage and Juneau? Thank you.
Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back in 1982, we had a different plan for this area. It's the northern part of the Willow Capital site. If you'd like to revert to that for people use, we'd be happy to accommodate them.
Other members who haven't spoken on this bill wish to speak? Mr. Taylor, please.
Mr. Speaker, I'd be happy at this point in time, having seen what we've accomplished in Juneau on this budget, to yield to the gentleman from Palmer, and I would accede his request at this point to support him in that effort.
One more vote. Ready to go. Ready for the question? Question for the House. It shall Senate Bill number 33 pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
Senate Bill number 33 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Larson?
Yes. I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back to introduction of guests.
Without objection, our introductions, Mr. Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, there's two gentlemen I'd like to introduce. The first is the general manager of the Matanuska Telephone Association and a constituent to Representative Menard and I, Mr. Tom Minnick. Next gentleman sitting alongside the young lady from Talkeetna is one that we all keep our eye on. He's the borough assessor, Mr. Gary Lewis. Thank you.
Mr. Gall, any introductions?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to have the privilege of introducing you guests in Gallery A, my friend, and the mayor pro tem of the city of Thorne Bay, Mr. Ken Methvin.
Grunberg, will be at ease. House, please come back to order. Mr. Davidson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, I have two friends and former colleagues from city council days in Kodiak, and now constituents, City Clerk Marcella Dahlke and Kodiak City Mayor Bob Brody. If you would please help me welcome them.
Jacko.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some constituents here also from Sandpoint in Gallery A. Dick Jacobson, his wife Edith Jacobson and Susan Osterbeck, and also Inger Jacobson, who works for me in my office in Juneau.
Mr. Boucher?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're also sitting in Gallery A. Next to Tom is my good friend, Gordon Parker.
Mr. Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce the you folks to the mayor of Anderson, Heather Sewell. Please stand, please.
Other guests, we're back to today's calendar. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to confidentiality of certain fishery reports and records. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Resources Committee with the same title and due pass. Concurring, Davidson, Menard, M. Davis, Sharp, Foster, Navarre, and Jackal. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Concurring, Gall, Grunberg, Ellis, Martin, and M. Davis. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Resources Committee substitute has been adopted. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection to bills in third reading, would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to confidentiality of certain fishery reports and records.
Is there discussion? Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 76, Resources, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 76, Resources, has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill 233, Hess amended, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act increasing the limit on the local contribution to a city or borough school district to 23%, imposing a required local contribution within a city or borough school district formed after July 1, 1988, and providing for an effective date. We are in reconsideration in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Pilkman?
House Bill 90?
House Bill 233 is in front of us at this point.
The amendment that's being distributed is House Bill 90.
Did you want to offer an amendment to 233?
Yes, I have amendment number 3.
Would the clerk read amendment number 3?
Amendment number 3 by Kopanen. It starts on page 1, line 6, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
We're in third reading.
Thank you. Move and ask unanimous consent to move back to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment number 3.
Is there objection? There is objection. Is there objection to moving back from third to second? Hearing no objection, we're second reading. Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have had a very good explanation of the bill itself by the sponsor, which contains materials which we do not dispute. In fact, we have the...
All right. Would you please move the amendment?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Move the amendment.
There is objection. Thank Mr. Kopanen, you have the floor.
I would have been astonished if there were not. I assume that there would be. The intent of the amendment is to act upon another section of the foundation bill at the same time. Originally, when we
passed the foundation bill. It had been suspended for a number of years, and we had been distributing funds to the school through essentially a method of just deciding how much each child in a particular school district was worth and distributing the money that way. But through the foundation formula, we tried to come up with an equitable means of distributing money based on need and based on ability to finance schools in a local community and a number of other factors. Through my professional career, I have been involved with that in a number of states, even in the time that I was gone from Alaska. And I know the legal background, the problem of disparity, the court cases that have been discussed, and the reasons for the strictures that we have. My own feelings are that we should have a program that it more sharply, more categorically, make sure that funding goes to the classroom, but I can sympathize with my former fellow administrators in wishing to have a greater degree of flexibility. The formula that we have sets two caps on the local effort, on the amount of money that comes from a local community. One is a cap that may be termed a cap on local effort, on the mill rate, on the amount or rate of tax that can be levied by a community against the local property owner, or the equivalent, whether the community owns bake sales, uses sales tax, or anything, but looking at the wealth of the community. There is a floor, the least that a community can tax, and a most that it can tax. However, also says that the amount that a local community will put in is the lesser of their effort or 35% of the amount needed. In other words, a very wealthy community may be able to raise all of the money needed from just the basic minimum mill rate. But even in that case, 65% of the money that's expended in that community will come from the state. So what we're talking about in the original version of the bill is allowing the local community to spend more. We're raising the rate that can be assessed against the local property owner, against the local homeowner. That is fair in many ways because the local community does, through its elected representatives on the school board and the borough assembly, set those rates. Nevertheless, it means that there is a continual upward pressure on the local taxpayer with the problem of a greater degree of controversy about school budgets and what should be done, what cannot be done. In other words, it introduces constraints that are not educational constraints in the budget debate in a local community. The 35% cap essentially was set in order to make sure that a larger amount of our oil wealth went into the general coffers of the state, because a lot of the money that came into the school foundation program, about 20%, came from Public Law 874, with federal money that came to the school district for a variety of reasons, primarily students who lived on federal properties. Now that amount of money has fallen, and also with a lawsuit, a large share of that has been redistributed and is outside of the formula, so that the state has had to put in approximately, I believe, $20 million more to make up for that loss. So at this point, the primary share of state money comes from the oil revenue of the state. There are two school districts in the state that bump up against the wealth limit. That is to say that they can raise more money with less effort and with less tax on the local property than others can. And those are the North Slope and Valdez. In fact, at four mills, the North Slope can raise $40 million for local tax effort. In the last page of the document that the representative from Juneau, the prime sponsor, had put out, there is a chart showing the local budgeted mill rate. And it has a note on the bottom. North Slope and Valdez are the only districts whose minimum required effort is 35% of basic need. All other have a minimum rate of 4 mills. And at least 15 of the 31 school districts listed there have a mill rate in excess of 6 mills locally. In other words, they're bumping up against the top limit. And those are Anchorage, Cordova, Fairbanks, Galena, Haines, Heidelberg, Juneau, Cape, Kenai, Ketchikan, Klawock, Nenana, Sitka, St. Mary's. St. Mary's tops it. They have to tax their local people 37.93 mills, almost 38 mills to pay for local schools. Tananaw and I was going to say Wrangell, but Wrangell just under with 5.9. Sorry about that. So actually, the majority of these districts raise more than 5 mills for education alone. Now, if we raise, for every 5 degrees, we raise the wealth limit, we raise $783,000 more or deduct it from the foundation formula. We can transfer it to other things. The motion you have before you raises it to 75%. In other words, it guarantees the state will put in, even in the wealthiest districts, 1/4 of the amount of money that's coming. It frees up in the foundation program another $7,703,213. This is on a memorandum to Representative Ulmer contained in her package from Steve Holt, Deputy Commissioner. Now, am I talking about taxing the whaling captain at Point Hope, the hunter at Nuiqsik, the pipeline worker perhaps who lives at Wainwright and works part-time on, say, Doyon's drill? No. Essentially, we're talking about taxing the oil companies. We're talking about taking more money from the oil facilities up there. It can be done with relatively little effort. The argument then is made, well, we're taking it out of the state general fund. Gentlemen, where does the money in the foundation formula come from anyway? It gets in the general fund because we take from the oil companies. I think just sending it down to Juneau and sending it back up to the North Slope is a rather roundabout way of doing it. I think it's more important and much more reasonable to let the North Slope tax it where it is, right there. And you don't have to send the check to Juneau first. You can send it right to Barrow. It seems much more the reasonable way to do this. And I think, I'm sorry to bring this up as an amendment, because I feel that all of these parts work together. And we do have to look at the whole program. And we have a number of single amendments to the foundation program that are working their way through. But I think this one is essential. This is an essential element in the whole thing. And therefore, I request your vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before this came up, and having read the previous amendment that the gentleman gave to everyone a couple of days ago, I told him I was concerned how this conflict with Article 2, Section 19 of our Constitution, which explicitly prohibits taxation without voters of the people in local regions, and also the possibilities of passing legislation that in this narrow concept can be construed as benefiting or being detrimental to one part of the state. And so I did give that particular section of the Constitution to him to evaluate, and it seems to me, since he elaborated today specifically talking about the value to North Slope for this purpose of local taxation indirectly getting more money for maybe other school districts or in the school budget, that I really think that we have a serious constitutional question here, and I'd like to have it settled now, or at least in the Senate, before we even go any further, because once we start these procedures, we can start special local taxation all over this place on this specific concerns of base of monies for the state and encouraging one local government to tax fish at a much higher rate so that the spread of state monies can be used for something else. And I really think that we're in conflict with that part of the Constitution.
Mr. Copeland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think, in a way, the shoe is on the other foot. The existing foundation formula, through that particular article, exempts just two local school districts. So therefore, if the representative from Anchorage is correct, what is at fault as a special act with local application is that particular section of the foundation formula, which I am attempting to amend. The proper remedy for that would be then to strike that whole section out and not place any cap on it. I do not think that is necessarily true. I think we can define it. I think the definition is generally clear enough. It certainly passed muster before and was a kind of section in the bill that no one, in the act that no one challenged. I think also, it is a limit, let us say, if Juno does turn out to be sitting on a field of gold and this becomes the most richest borough in the state for a short period of time, that it would apply to them automatically. So it has a, shall we say, a limitation on the amount that the state can give a wealthy district, but it does not specify which district is the wealthy one. Thank you.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 233, as originally introduced, tried to address a very simple problem, that being local school districts that chose to spend more money on local education, allowing them to do so. The amendment before you does not deal with voluntary contribution. It deals with that portion of required contribution from the local level. The representative from Fairbanks has explained in some detail as to how this would impact two districts in of the state. I agree with his assessment, and the materials that I put on every member's desk from the Department of Education does confirm that this amendment would have the effect of requiring increased contribution from the North Slope Borough and from Valdez. And as the representative from Fairbanks points out, some other district in the future if their financial circumstances change. I would very much appreciate it if the representative from Fairbanks would offer this concept as a separate piece of legislation, because it does deal with the requirement as opposed to the voluntary contribution. I would like to keep my bill as simple as possible, deal narrowly with the problem that I attempted to address, and I would appreciate members voting no on this amendment and leaving open the question of whether or not they wish to support this as a separate piece of legislation. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. let me try and encapsulate for you and the members as quickly and briefly as I can. It's been a long day. My concerns about the comments made by the former speaker. About 4 years ago, I began the arduous process of rewriting the formula. I had at my assistance a gentleman named Daryl Hargraves, who was then superintendent of schools in Ketchikan, and another fine man named Nat Cole in this community, retired at that time from the Department of Education. Nat had been the gentleman that had crunched the numbers for years on the old formula that had basically been destroyed and thrown out in 78 by amendments going through this House and the other body. We came up with a formula based upon the 1978 formula, which appeared to have a greater degree of equity in it than what had occurred over the 8-year period or 7-year period in between. The school, we circulated it, school district seemed to like it, but I asked that one item be inserted, and to this extent, I played some role in drafting that formula, because I certainly don't take any credit for the hard work done by both of those gentlemen who really put the work on this, put in the work on this, this change in our law. The one item that I insisted to be in that formula was that there be some sharing of the pain, as I called it. If schools were going to cost the local taxpayer in Juneau or in Ketchikan or in Sitka or in Anchorage so many mills to keep the doors open, then they should also cost at least something for every other tax-based community in the state. Of course, you can't touch the REAA or the PL 8818, or now it's 88874. Monies, because those are federal monies, and that's one reason we got into trouble with the federal government, and the suit was brought, because we weren't properly distributing those monies through our formula. So they moved out of the formula. They're now properly being distributed. And what we're really talking about are just our tax-based communities. Will they be treated with some degree of equality in the manner in which we send out state funds for educational purposes? The city council in my hometown met last night and decided to put more money into education than they have in the past. We've always been somewhat parsimonious down there. I believe right now we are either at the cap or above it. The only reason this legislation from the prime sponsor is before you today is that because of cuts that we made in the budget we have passed, will force various communities in this state to assess a higher mill equivalency and put additional money into those schools than they are allowed under our formula. And to the extent they have to tax their own people to make up this difference and pay for these educational costs, they go above the formula, and when they do so, they actually pay, I believe it's $1.25 penalty for every dollar in essence they put in. Because by going over the formula and putting more in than you should, you receive less money from the state. Well, we certainly don't want to do that to our communities. We want to leave them at least free to increase their taxes so they can pay for these schools. But to call this a voluntary increase is really stretching the point. It's hardly a voluntary increase when we send less money to our school districts and the local people have to increase taxes. What the primary bill does, and what this amendment will change, is that the primary bill will allow people to now increase the amount of tax support they're putting into schools. What the gentleman from Fairbanks' amendment does is it, as you move up the ceiling, he's also bringing up very slightly the floor, saying that no one shall tax less than this mill equivalency at the bottom. That keeps the formula pure. When I say that, it keeps the primary intent that we passed, the new educational formula in this state, it keeps that same intent in there, that as some districts must now tax themselves higher, other districts must also increase their taxes to meet that minimum. And merely by bringing it up that small amount, his amendment will bring $7 million into the formula for distribution among all these communities. Some would say, well, this hurts Valdez, or this hurts the North Slope Borough. God, I'd love to be hurt like that in Wrangell, or in Ketchikan, or in Petersburg. I'd love to only have to drop down to 4 mills on my house. That kind of hurt you can give me any day. Instead, I'm looking at probably 14 to 16 mills, at least 4 to 5 mills additional this year. We're going to have to break the cap to keep the doors open on that school. So I figure as long as I've got to go up that much, at least bring the rest of the wealthier communities in this state up just a tad. And as you do so, we end up with $7 million more within that formula to distribute basically back out to kids. And I think his argument is a very good argument when he says, are we really hurting the North Slope Borough and hurting Valdez? We're not really hurting them. Their primary tax base is the large wealth of the oil communities that they have available to them. A 1 mil increase in the North Slope borough generates $10 million. A 1 mil increase in my town is $75,000, Mr. Speaker. I really support this amendment. I think it keeps it pure, and I hope you'll all join with me in supporting it.
Representative Oliver.
Thank you. Just one point of clarification. The roughly $7.7 million that would be quote-unquote saved would not go into the foundation formula to be distributed to other districts. I specifically asked the Department of Education that. It is a savings to the general fund, but not to be redistributed to the other districts. Presumably, if the legislature decided that it saved some amount of money, whether it was 7 or 4 or whatever rate one set it at, one could spend that additionally in education in some other way, but it does not automatically get redistributed to other districts. It's a general fund savings. Thank you.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes, I think the member from Juneau, she is correct in that, but that $7 million would be available to this body within the general fund to do something that I had hoped we would do this year, and that was increase the basic formula from $60,000
to maybe
$62,000.
Please stick with the amendment, Mr. Taylor.
I'm talking about the amendment.
The $7 million, what to do with the $7 million has nothing to do with the amendment.
Well, whether that's all she was talking to is whether or not the $7 million would flow into the system or not. It definitely could flow into the system. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Ellis?
Speaker, could we have a brief at ease, please?
Sanity. Mr. Majority Leader.
To introduction, yes.
Without objection, under introductions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have with us again today a city councilman from the city of Soldotna, Mr. Bill Reeder. Also, Mr. Speaker, a good friend of mine and a constituent of Representative Swackhammer and myself, Betty Glick, a member of the Assembly.
Are we ready to vote on amendment number 3? Question before the House, shall amendment number... Question before the House, shall amendment number 3 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk, take the roll.
18 yeas, 17 nays.
Amendment number 1 is, or amendment number 3 has passed the House. Mr. Donnelly?
We are at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, no problem. House Bill 233 is back in third reading after the adoption of Amendment Number 3. The House is hereby called on the bill by request. For just a moment, can I see a friend? Back to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House please come back to order?
Mr. Thank you. I lift the call in the House. I would like to move that we return to second reading for purposes of rescinding our action and adopting Amendment Number 1.
There is objection. Are you ready for the question? Amendment Number 3 was adopted earlier, so the motion is to return to second reading for the purpose of rescinding our action and adopting Amendment Number 3. Are you ready for the question? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk, please take the roll. Okay, we're in second reading. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I move that we rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 1.
There is objection.
Excuse me. Amendment Number 3.
Is there discussion? Mr. Taylor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It's my belief that the frustration and concern here is not one of equity, but one of politics, and I'm frustrated by that. Whatever may happen,
Mr. Taylor,
this bill leaves
house, please do not impugn the motives of members of this body.
I'm not. Whatever happens,
you're suggesting that people are making their decision based on.
I wouldn't think of doing that, Mr. Speaker. Wouldn't think of doing that. What I was saying, if you would have let me finish, that is, whatever happens beyond this time today is none of our concern. What is of concern is whether we're going to do equity within this legislation. And equity within this legislation means that if we're going to allow communities to voluntarily increase their tax, we have to allow at least that the floor come up accordingly. If we're going to be causing more taxes at home in our communities, the least we can ask is that the pain be higher throughout the system for all taxpayers, not just those who wish to voluntarily increase it. And I hope that's the purpose and the reason that we're doing this today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question before the House is, shall we rescind our action and adopting Amendment Number 3? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk take the roll.
22 yeas, 18 nays.
Amendment Number 3 is before you. Is there discussion on the amendment? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge members to vote no on Amendment Number 3. As I stated earlier, this is a legitimate concern and something that can be discussed in another vehicle, but I would very much appreciate it if we'd keep this bill before us, House Bill 233. A very narrow approach, and I would urge members to vote no.
Mr. Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the members to vote yes for this amendment for the reasons previously stated by myself, a representative from Fairbanks who was kind enough to offer this amendment. If we're going to be sending any message home, let's send home the correct one, and this amendment would do it. Furthermore, if we're going to be allowing these communities, charitably and kind as we are, to increase their taxes optionally, and we have a whole list of people in front of us that are going to have to increase their taxes, whether they have a choice on it or not, what this bill actually does is to allow them to do that, then let's at least bring that floor up so that others share the same amount of pain that each of us are going to share when we go home.
You ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall Amendment Number 3 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Somebody has failed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Gall.
Yes,
Mr. Gall. Mr. Gall changes from yes to no. Any other members? Mr. Davidson.
Yes to no.
Mr. Davidson changes from yes to no. Any other members? Clerk, please take the roll.
17 yeas, 23 nays.
House Bill 233 is in third reading. Is there further discussion? Are you ready for the question? question for the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 233, Hess, amended House, pass the House on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Gall?
Yes.
Mr. Gall changes from no to yes. Any other members? Clerk, please take the roll.
29 yeas, 11 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 233, Hess, passed the House upon reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage be considered roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Can we revert to introduction again?
Without objection, under introductions, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, a friend of mine, a constituent of Representative Swackhammers and myself, member of the school board in Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Wayne Kessler.
Any other guests? Mr. Majority Leader, any citations?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are 11 citations on today's calendar honoring Rosalie Schuette, Alaska Secondary Physical Education Teacher of the Year, honoring Bernice Junior Tatum, the first honorary Alaska State Trooper, honoring Jeremy C. Meacham, honoring Scotty Starr, honoring Phil Engelbritson, honoring the contestants and volunteers involved in the Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race, honoring Sarah Elder, Leonard Kammerling, and the University of Alaska Museum's Native Heritage Film Project, honoring staff of Tenaina Elementary School, honoring Dr. Lawrence Reynolds, in memoriam Brenda Smith, and in memoriam Neil Wright. I move and ask unanimous consent that citations be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business come before the House, Mr. Majority Leader?
Do we have brief at ease?
We'll stand at ease. Please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On our unfinished business, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Davis be excused from the call of the House from 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 29th until playing time Monday, May 1st.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Mr. Davis is excused. Other unfinished business? Other announcements? Other special orders? Mr. Menard?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today. The calendar that we have is Senate Bill 129, the act relating to mining rents and royalties. I do want to move that bill out of committee, and there are a couple other bills if we have time, but I definitely would like to meet in 5 minutes. Also, I think we're planning on having resource committee pitchers, so if there's members want to be there for pitchers. Thank you.
Mr. Hoffman?
Yes, the Finance Committee meeting is canceled for today.
All right. Mr. Majority Leader, adjourn until tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, no objection. We're adjourned until 10 a.m.
Mr. Speaker.